Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning. Morning.
Welcome to Christian Family Church. Won't you please stand up with me? We're about to get started. Won't you turn and greet somebody? Tell them you're glad to see them today. Smile at them. Praise God. I'm so glad you're here at the beginning of the service. As we start out, giving God praise, giving God thanks, I want to read here from Psalm 100. Psalm 100, it says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that He is the Lord. He is God. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. Fathers, we come into Your house today. We come before You with thanksgiving. We come before You with praise. We come before You with singing. Because, Lord, You are good, and Your mercy endures forever. You are worthy, Lord. We lift up the name of Jesus. We give praise to the name of Jesus. Lord, You alone deserve all honor. You deserve all glory. There's nobody like You. We thank You for Your presence here today. We thank You that You inhabit our praises. We thank You that as we give You praise, that Your presence fills this place. In the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen today. Give the Lord a big hand of praise today. Come on, we're going to sing. We're going to clap. We're going to shout. We're going to dance. We're going to give God our best praise today. Amen. my soul declares, then sings my soul, how great is your love, Lord. Lord, we are so thankful for the great love that you have shown toward us, the great love that you have for us. Oh Lord, you so loved us, you so loved the world, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you for your great love toward us today. And we love you with all of our heart and with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all that is within us. Say that. Lift your hands now. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Say, Lord, I love you. Say, Lord, I love you with all my soul, with all my heart, with all my strength, with all that is within me. I worship you today. I thank you for the great love that you have for me. Let's sing it one more time. Then sings my soul. Give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Why don't we pray that prayer this morning as we come into the house of God? Say that with me. Close your eyes. I'll lead you in prayer. Say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say this, say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Not my will, but I surrender to your will. Say, give us this day our daily bread. Say, thank you, Lord, for providing every need, all of my needs. Say, forgive us our debts. as we forgive our debtors. Say this, say, Lord, forgive me for anything that I have said or that I have done that has displeased you, grieved you, or been disobedient to your word. I confess this as sin, and I ask you to forgive me. And I forgive anybody. Say, I forgive everybody that has wronged me. Say, do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Say this, say, thank you, Lord, that you direct me, you guide me, you direct my footsteps, and you lead me. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And amen. What's the next song? You know, the Bible says, as we sing this final song, the Word of God declares in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank God, the Bible says that we can come boldly before the throne of God, the throne of grace. We can come boldly before the Lord. And let's do that today. As we come to the altar, I want you to know that whatever you need, God is able to meet that need. And not only is He able, but He wants to. Let's come to the altar. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Come on, let's sing this song out together, church. Amen.
Have you come to the end of yourself?
Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to Christian Family Church. We're so glad you're here this morning. At this time, I want to pray for people that need prayer. And I just want to mention this verse here, what Jesus said, reading from Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Jesus said, "Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." If two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, we want to pray for you this morning. Whatever it is that you need the Lord to do in your life, I want you to know that He wants to help you. That's why He tells us, "Call upon me and I will answer you." Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He says here, if any two will agree, if two people, two believers will join together in faith and pray and agree, it shall be, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. And so, you know, when we pray, things happen. And very often, the reason why things don't happen is because we don't pray. And so, this is an opportunity this morning where we want to pray for you. And I'm going to ask our Connect Group leaders and our prayer partners to come and stand here with me at the front. And if you need prayer this morning, please don't be shy. But I want you to come right now. We're going to pray for you. Whatever it is that you need. You have a financial need. You need a job. You need healing in your body. You need to be set free. You're struggling with an addiction. You're struggling with depression. Whatever it is, if you're standing here this morning and you say, "Pastor Steve, I really need help. I need the Lord to help me. I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to you. If you need help, let me tell you, the Lord is here. Call upon Him. Look to Him. Put your trust in Him. Come forward right now. We want to pray. Come quickly. If you need prayer, come right now. Do not delay. And we're going to pray for you. I believe God is going to meet every need in your life in the name of Jesus. Come to the altar.
Someone and tell them welcome to church today, and you may be seated. Thank you. Wonderful. So good to see you on this lovely Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. I love being up here for a few minutes just to be able to see everybody before you dash out at the end of church. And we're so glad to have you here today. And just like I was saying, you know, the Lord keeps impressing on me to engage. And today we're going to hear a word, a teaching on faith that's going to encourage us and uplift us. And I encourage you to lean in. Just lean in and get everything you can out of the service. Get everything you can from the Word. Take notes. Mark down the Scriptures. Look at it when you go home. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it, right? And we're so glad to have you here. I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We have visitors every week, and we love that. We're not a little Bless Me Club, but our doors are open. We love for you to invite your friends and your family to come to church and enjoy it the way you do. But we want to welcome those who are visiting. Our ushers are standing ready. They have a few gift bags. They'd just like to pass to you. We don't want to embarrass you. We'd like to give you a gift. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just raising your hand and letting us know? God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Up here, you've got to keep it up so the ushers can see you. Thank you, James. Thank you. Keep it up and the ushers will get to you. Thank you, James. And right up here in front too. Anywhere else, just wave your hand. They'll see you. There's a gift bag. In there's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll be an encouragement to you in the week. There's a white card in there. If you just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. And if you just drop that white card in, it gives us as pastors an opportunity to call you. Find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that, and just relax. And maybe it's a little different to you today, but we ask you just keep an open heart, and we trust that God will just speak to you in some way today. Amen. Thanks, my dear. Today is March the 5th. Yesterday was March the 4th, and that's Pastor's birthday. Look nervous. Are you nervous about being 53? No? Shouldn't be.
Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, worship team, doing a wonderful job today, as you always do. Give them a round of applause. I want to welcome all those first-time new visitors today. We're so glad that you are here. I hope I get a chance to meet you after the service, and I want to thank everybody who invited a new person today. And also remember that we have the invitation cards. If you would like to have some of those, I find it very helpful when I invite someone to church to give them an invitation card. It has our address and our website and all that kind of stuff on it, so take some with you. We have some at the back. The ushers will give them to you. They're on the back table. Invite somebody next Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, are you ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
Ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Praise God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity that we can come into your house. We can worship you. We can just gather with the family of God, encourage one another, and just experience your presence, your anointing, Lord. We We thank you for another opportunity to learn your word, to study your word, Lord. Your word is what brings life. Your word is what brings faith, direction, wisdom, hope to us. Lord, as I stand today to teach your word, I'm trusting and depending in you to help me, enable me, anoint me, think through my mind and speak through my lips. And Lord, I thank you that you carry your word by your anointing to every person's heart, bringing faith, removing doubt. To every mind, bringing revelation, understanding, and dispelling confusion. Lord, we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and everything that will be done in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, worship team. We're going to do that in a little while. Is that okay? That song, can we do it a little later on? I know that's what you're waiting for, right? Is that okay? Okay, we're going to do that a little later on. Have a song ready for us. But right now, I just feel to go into God's Word this morning. So, how many of you brought your Bible to church today? Why don't you hold it up, wave it around. If you're following on your phone, hold that up today. So, right now, we're ready to receive God's Word. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And last week, I started speaking about, I started a series of teaching called Faith That Moves God to Act. Faith that moves God to act. And I'm continuing with it this week, you know, understanding faith, how faith works. I believe is the most important thing for any Christian to learn and understand is understanding faith. And you might think that you understand faith, but I as we go through this and kind of dissect it and break it down, I believe that you're going to realize that maybe you didn't understand faith as well as you thought you did. And faith is what moves God to act in your life. Faith is what receives from God. Last week I told you about a Roman centurion who came to Jesus for he wanted his servant was very ill, and he came to Jesus to heal his servant, and Jesus offered to come to his house. He said, "I'll come to your house, I'll come and heal him." And the centurion said, "No, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Just speak a word and my servant will be healed." And Jesus turned and he said, "I haven't found such great faith, not even in all of Israel." And he said to the man, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And the Bible says that his servant was healed that very same hour. You see, faith is what moves God to act in your life. Another time, a woman moved Jesus to act in her life because of her faith. Over in Matthew chapter 15, it says Jesus went out from there and he departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the woman of Canaan came from that region. She cried out to him and she said, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." And he answered her not a word. Jesus didn't answer her. And his disciples came, they urged him, they said, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." Another translation says, "Send her away, because we're tired of her begging. We don't want to hear her begging." But he answered and he said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And so then the Bible says, then she came and she worshipped him. Now notice she changes her approach. She goes from begging to worshipping. She comes and worships him. She says, "Lord, help me." And he answered, he said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered and he said to the woman, he said, "Great is your faith. Great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now here's the point. Who instigated that miracle? The woman did. Jesus didn't go to her and say, "Listen, I want to heal your daughter." She came to Jesus. And then, you see, because she wasn't Jewish, Jesus really ministered and mainly to Jewish people. And so she just kept on coming. Then she came and worshipped him. And finally he said, "Your faith is so great, let it be to you as you desire." Faith is what gets God's attention. Faith is what moves God to act on your behalf. Jesus, do you know that Jesus didn't just indiscriminately heal all people? In fact, in his own hometown of Nazareth, the Bible says Jesus couldn't do any mighty miracles. In Mark chapter 6,
Verse 5, it says, because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles there, except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at their unbelief. See, faith is what moves God to act in your life. Unbelief stops God from moving in your life. The Bible says Jesus marveled at the Roman centurion's faith. He marveled. And the Bible says Jesus was amazed by the unbelief of the people in Nazareth. Here's my question. How are you going to amaze God? With your faith or with your unbelief? Is God going to be amazed at your faith or at your unbelief? I don't know about you, but I want God to be amazed at my faith. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Try and contain yourself. Don't get too excited now. If you're going to amaze God with your faith, then you're going to need to know what it is. You're going to need to know how faith works. Faith is the most important subject in the entire Bible. Why is it so important to understand faith? I said to you last week, let me just give a quick recap on the reasons why it's so important. Because number one, you can't please God without faith. It's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. I can only please God with my faith. Number two, God commands me to live by faith. In Hebrews 10 verse 38 it says, now the just shall live by faith. And if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. I was reading this week in Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Christ now lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live it by faith in the Son of God. We are to live our life by faith in Jesus. We are to live our life by faith in Jesus and faith in His Word. That's how we're to live. I live my life faith in Jesus. No matter what our faith, no matter what our faith, my faith and trust is in Jesus and in His Word. Number three, faith brings victory. You can't have victory unless you learn how to live and walk by faith. 1 John 5 verse 4 declares, whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Number four, the Bible says you're in a fight of faith. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Whether you realize it or not, you're in a fight of faith. The enemy is coming after your faith. So you've got to know how to keep your faith up strong. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Notice it says, fight the good fight of faith. Man, a good fight is a fight you win. I never had a good fight that I lost. Number five, you cannot receive anything from God without faith. That's why it's so important to understand this. In James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. In other words, we cannot receive anything from the Lord except by faith. Faith. Everything we receive from God is by faith. Without faith, we must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Number six, faith removes the impossible in our life. Jesus said in Mark 9 verse 23, why do you say, if you can, anything is possible for someone who has faith? You see, faith removes the impossibilities in your life. Anything is possible when you have faith in God. Faith makes the impossible possible. Through faith, you can receive anything you need or desire from God. Amen. Amen. And the good news is you have this faith. Every believer has a measure of the God kind of faith. You have a measure of the kind of faith that created this world. It's up to us to find out how faith works and develop and grow this faith. In 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, it says, we are bound to thank God always for you because your faith grows exceedingly. Listen, your faith can grow. God wants your faith to be growing. Your faith can be developed. You develop your faith like you develop your muscles. You've got to feed it and you've got to exercise your faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more I hear the word of God, the stronger my faith is. Can you say amen? Amen. Your faith grows stronger. It is by feeding it on the word of God and by using it, by practicing every day. Are you with me? Yes. You don't start out believing God for $1 million. You start out believing God for $1. And then you believe Him for $10. And then you believe Him for $100. And your faith grows. Are you with me? Make a decision today. You're going to walk by faith. You're going to live by faith. That means that you are going to live your life trusting God, trusting His Word, in spite of what anybody else says, or in spite of what you face in your life. You make a decision. I'm going to live by the Word of God. Believe what it says. That's what I'm going to believe. Amen. This faith down a little bit. I want to go back to where we left off. Hebrews 11 verse 1. The Bible defines what faith is. It tells us what faith is. In Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, there's three things I want to point out in this verse. Number one, it says, "Now faith is." That tells us the time of faith. Faith is now. Faith has a time. Faith is always now. If it's not now, it's not faith. If you say, "Well, one day, I believe God's going to do it one day," that's not faith. That's hope. Faith is always now. Faith is now. Now is faith.
Amen.
Amen. Secondly, it says, "Now faith is." Secondly, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Number two, faith gives substance to hope. Say that. Say, "My faith is what gives substance to my hope." Notice it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Right? And the new English translation says it like this. What is faith? It says, "Faith gives substance to our hopes." Faith is what gives substance to our hope. How many of you know that hope's got no substance? Faith is what gives substance to the things that you hope for. Faith grasps. Faith is what faith does. It grasps the unrealities of hope and it brings them into the realm of reality. It gives substance to them. See, too often when it comes to receiving from God, many people they hope they will receive, but it's not hoping that gets the job done. It's faith that gets the job done. See, hope's like a dream. A dream has no reality. Have you ever had a dream while you're sleeping? Maybe you dreamt that you were a Top Gun fighter pilot, naval aviator. Remember that movie Top Gun with Tom Cruise? Remember that movie? Maybe you dreamt you're a Top Gun fighter pilot. And you're flying in a, I don't think, do they have F-18s now? Is that the latest one? F-22s? Just ask Carol. She'll tell you. F-22s. Imagine you flying in this jet. You dream you flying in this jet. And, you're chasing after the MiGs. You have an awesome time. And the next minute, ring, 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 ring. Your alarm goes off and you wake up and poof, the dream's gone. Ever happened to you?
Yep.
Something like that? That's what hope is like. Hope doesn't have any substance. Hope doesn't have any reality. My faith is what gives substance and gives materiality to the things I hope for. The English Revised Version says it like this. It says, faith, this is Hebrews 11 verse 1 from the English Revised Version. It says, faith is what makes real the things we hope for.
Amen.
Faith makes the things I hope for real. You see, you need hope. You've got to start out with hope. But if you don't know how to add faith to your hope, then your hope, like a dream, will never be a reality. When someone says, "Well, Pastor Steve, I'm just hoping and praying," all we can do is hope and pray. That has no substance. That will never become a reality. Just hoping and praying. If you're just hoping for something to happen, you're not moving in faith. You see, hope is a goal setter, but faith goes and gets the goal. Hope is a good waiter, but it is a poor receiver. Faith believes the Word of God is true and acts upon the Word of God. Faith believes that it receives it now. See, unbelief is when you take sides against the Word of God. And the sad thing is there are so many believers who take sides against the Word of God. They talk unbelief. They believe opposite to the Word of God. They talk opposite to the Word of God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Then they wonder why the Word of God is not working for them. If you want God's word to work for you, you've got to agree with what it says and you've got to do what it says. See, faith is in hope and hope is in faith. Often when people come for prayer and I ask them, what do you want God to do for you? And I say, well, Pastor Steve, I need the Lord to do this. I need the Lord to do that. And I say to them, I pray and I say, well, do you believe that you received it? Do you believe it's done? And often they say, well, I sure hope so. You don't receive from God by hoping so. You receive from God by faith. Other times they'll say, well, I really want him to. I really want him to. Do you believe it's done? I want him to. Hey, listen, you might want a Cadillac. That doesn't mean you're going to get one. Just wanting to doesn't get the job done. You see, if wanting something from God did the job, then we'd all have it. We'd all receive instantly. But it's not hoping and it's not wanting that moves God. It is exercising faith. That's what moves God to act in your life. And you won't receive anything from God just because you hope so. Nowhere in the Bible does it say when you pray, you shall receive the things you hope for. No. It says in Mark 11:24, Jesus said, I tell you, you can pray for anything. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. If you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. See, if you want to know whether you're in faith or whether you're in hope, remember, hope is always in the future tense. Hope always looks to the future. But faith believes that it has it now. Faith believes I receive it now. I believe all my needs are met. I believe that I received my healing. I believe I have my new job. See, we must have hope. Without hope, we have nothing for our faith to give substance to. But hope by itself does not receive anything from God. If you wanted to get somebody saved, and they said to you, I hope to be saved, what would you tell them? You would tell them what the Word of God says. You would tell them Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You would tell them salvation is a gift from God. You would tell them Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You would tell them that. You would try and get them to believe that and act upon it in faith right there and then. And if they do, you would tell them that they are saved. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. If they say to you, well, I don't feel like I'm saved, you would tell them it doesn't matter how you feel. This is what the Bible says, and you did what the Bible says, and so you are saved. Would you agree with me here? Yet when it comes to receiving the Holy Spirit, when it comes to receiving healing, when it comes to receiving an answer to prayer, often people do not act in faith. They hope God answers their prayer. They hope to be healed. They hope to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor Steve, I believe I'll get it sometime. No, you're calling it belief, but really it's still hope because faith is now. Now faith is. If it's not now, it's not faith. Faith is always present tense. Hope is always future tense. And even though, you know, sometimes people say they believe, they say they have faith. If you're putting it into the future, then you're not in faith, you're in hope. Some people are always believing God is going to do something for them. God is going to do something. But faith believes that he has done it. Faith believes that he is doing it right now. Some say, well, I don't understand, Pastor Steve. I don't understand why I haven't received my healing. I know God promised to heal me. Do you know God hasn't promised to heal you? Do you know the Word of God says in Matthew 8:17, he took our sickness and removed our diseases? 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were. Is were future tense or past tense? You were healed. Is that a promise? That's not a promise. That's a statement of fact. That tells us something that's already happened. It tells you what belongs to you. You see, as soon as you get people to stop hoping and start exercising faith, they will receive. Faith agrees with God no matter what my senses may tell me. People say, well, Pastor Steve, I know the Word of God. I know what the Word of God says, but can you tell me why I can't get healed? Yes, I can tell you why. Because you just said it, that's why. You just said it with your own mouth. Number three. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives substance to the things you hope for. The evidence of things not seen. Let's talk about that. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen? Faith has only to do with what you don't see. Anytime you can see something, then no faith is involved. And when I say the word see, I'm not just talking about visual perception, I'm talking about sensory perception, because how many of you know you've got five physical senses, and seeing is just one of them. I'm not just talking about seeing. Faith is the evidence of things that are not perceived by your physical senses. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, things not heard, things not felt, things not smelt. What's the other one? Things not felt. Are you with me? So listen to me now. Don't miss this. To exercise faith, you have to be willing to ignore what your five physical senses are telling you. Your faith is in what God says, regardless of what your five physical senses are telling you. See, faith operates in the unseen realm. If I were to hold my watch up here before you, hold up my watch, okay? How much faith do you need to see this watch? Do you need faith to see this?
No.
Because you can see it. But if I hold behind my back and I say to you, I have a watch in my right hand, now faith is involved. Because you have nothing to go on other than my word. You can either believe my word or you can disbelieve my word. You can either say, well, if Pastor Steve says that he's got a watch in his right hand, then I believe he does. Because he wouldn't lie about it. Are you with me? You see, your faith is the evidence of things that you don't see. What is evidence? Evidence is proof. Would you agree? Proof is that which validates or substantiates the existence of something that you don't presently have or you can't see. Because if you had it, you wouldn't need any proof of it. Proof takes the place of what it's the proof of until the thing arrives on the scene. Once it arrives on the scene, you don't need proof anymore. How many of you have grandchildren? Who has grandchildren? Wave your hand if you have grandchildren. How many of you have your grandchildren are not with you today? You have grandchildren, but they're not with you. Hold your hand. How many of you, your grandchildren are not with you, but you have a picture of them? Hold your hand up. You got a picture. Can anyone show me a picture? Has anyone got a picture of their grandchildren? Huh? There's a picture of your grandchildren. Your grandchildren. Two little girls. This is Victoria's mom. Drove from Jacksonville to be here today. 4 hours to be here today. I know people come from all kinds of distances, but just in case you thought you drove a long way. And there's your two grandchildren. What are their names? Eden and Lorinda. Now, you know what? I don't see your grandchildren, but you know what this is? This is evidence that they exist. I'm taking it's not just two random kids you saw in the park. That's your grandchildren. That's evidence. You see, when the grandchild is here, you wouldn't be showing me a picture of them if they're here with you. You see, evidence is temporary. Until such time as what it is the proof or the evidence arrives on the scene, that's what your faith is like. Your faith is the evidence of things that you don't see. You've got to understand when you're walking in faith, when you're living by faith, when you're exercising faith, it's always got to do with what you cannot see. Faith is like your title deed. In fact, the Bible says, if you read the Amplified version of Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, now faith is the title deed of the things that we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now listen, a title deed is evidence that you own something. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Faith is the evidence of things that are not perceived by your senses, but they belong to you.
Yeah.
That means in order to walk by faith, I have to leave the realm of the senses. The more that I can get out of the self-sense realm, the more that I can walk by faith. One of the biggest things that hinders people to believing and trusting God is they can't get past what they see. They can't get past what they feel. They can't get past what they hear. You've got to be willing to ignore what you feel, what you see, and what you hear, and believe what God says irregardless. I just made up a new word. irregardless. Faith isn't moved by what it sees, by what it feels, by what it hears. Faith is moved only by what it believes. And faith believes the Word of God. My faith is in the Word of God. Now, this is a foreign experience for many of us humans, because everything that we know and we learn comes through our senses. But you see, you can't rely on your senses when it comes to faith. Because sometimes your senses are telling you one thing and the Word of God is telling you another. Sometimes what your senses is telling you is the complete opposite of what God says. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Any pilots? I know Natalie. Natalie is a pilot. Natalie's a commercial pilot. Any other pilots here? Only Natalie. Well, you can confirm this, Natalie. Pilots that want to fly at nighttime or when visibility is bad, they have to become instrument rated. They learn not to rely on their senses, but to rely on their instruments. And pilots train in a flight simulator. It's not a real plane, but it feels like you're inside a real plane, where they learn how to fly by the instruments. They have to depend on the instruments. An altimeter, airspeed indicator, horizon line. Many pilots crash in the simulated test because they are so accustomed to depending on their senses. They have to learn to trust in the instruments, not fly by their senses, because your senses can deceive you. Do you know that you can be in an airplane, and if you can't see, you could be going the wrong direction and think you're going in another direction. You can get disoriented, is what I'm saying. You can't trust your senses. You've got to trust the instrument. It doesn't, if that instrument says you're flying straight, I don't care if it feels like you're flying at an angle, you trust the instrument. Well, listen, if you are going to live by faith, and if you are going to move God with your faith, you cannot depend on your physical senses. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah. Or you could say it like this, we walk by faith and not by what is perceived by our senses. We walk by faith and not by what is perceived by the senses. You see, Abraham is called the father of our faith because he walked by faith. He didn't consider. He did what I'm telling you. Abraham is our example. The Bible says in Romans 4:17, as it is written, talking about Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I said God calls things that do not exist like they do exist, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. What does that mean? Abraham is 100 years old. God says you're going to have many children. His body tells him, no way, Jose. Just take a look in the mirror. You're not going to have children. You're too old. The Bible says he did not consider his own body. He did not consider what his senses were telling him. It says, but he did not waver at the promise of God. That he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to perform what he promised.
Amen.
Now listen, when God told Abraham, you're the father of many nations, Abraham didn't have any children. But God is a faith God. And God calls things that do not exist as though they do. Yeah. Abraham had strong faith because he believed the word of God in spite of what his senses were telling him. And if you're going to be strong in faith, you cannot believe your senses above the word of God. Yes. Are you with me? Yeah. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are just temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. See, this is where so many people are missing it, right in this area. That's why I'm taking time to really explain this, because so many people miss it in this area. Many people, they want to see it, and they want to feel it before they will believe it, before they will confess it. But again, when the Bible says we don't look at the things which are seen, that's not just talking about visual perception. It's talking about sensory perception. And you see, you can say it like this: while we do not look at the things which are perceived by our senses, but at the things which are not perceived by our senses. For the things which are perceived by our senses are temporary. That means they can change. But the things which are not perceived by our senses are eternal. See, this is where a lot of people, they get confused about faith because they don't listen, they don't pay attention. And some people think that what we're saying is you're supposed to deny the existence of a problem. Some people think faith is saying, well, Pastor Steve, I'm not sick, I'm not poor, I don't have any pain. No, that's not what I'm saying. Faith doesn't deny the existence of a problem. Faith just doesn't look at it. Faith just doesn't focus on it. We do not consider the things perceived by our senses. That's not what we focus on. No, faith looks at the Word of God. Faith believes the Word of God. Faith confesses the Word of God. Faith acts out the Word of God is true. That's what moves God to act on my behalf. And that's what causes the things I see to change. My faith causes the things I see to change. They're just temporary. Listen, that means the problem must exist. Otherwise, why would the Bible tell us not to consider it if it didn't really exist? No, it does exist, but my faith does not allow it to dictate the terms of my existence. You see, if I'm not to consider the things that are perceived by my senses, then what must I do? I must ignore them. How do I do that? The same way you do it in the natural. The same way when someone calls you and you don't want to talk to them, you don't answer the call. Right? Same way when your children are nagging. Mommy, I want this. Mommy, I want this. Mommy, I want this. You ignore them. You better learn how to ignore them. That's what you do with the things perceived by your senses, the things you see, the things you feel. You act like they're not there. And you look at what God says. Because God cannot lie. The Bible says in Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. In Numbers 23, 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and will not do it? Has he spoken and will he not make it good? Or Jeremiah 1, 12, he said to me, I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. God is watching over his word to perform it. He said, if I said it, then I surely will do it. I'm not a man. I cannot lie. God cannot lie. But let me tell you who is a liar. The enemy is a liar. He's called the father of liars. And he will lie to you. Your circumstances can lie to you. You seem to be strong in the kind of faith that moves God to act in your life. You've got to keep looking at the Word of God and not consider what your senses are telling you. See, a lot of people, they want to feel well and then they'll confess that they are healed. But when you walk by faith, you confess, you declare, by His stripes I am healed. You call things that be not as though they were. You see, what is it that is not seen that I must look at? Well, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by His wounds you've been healed. I look at that. My body says I'm sick, but the Word of God says I've been healed. My body says I'm sick, but the Word of God says I'm healed. See, that's eternal. This is temporary. This can change. That can never change. When I look at that, and I believe that, and I confess that, it changes what I feel here.
Amen.
Philippians 4 verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. That's what I look at. That's eternal. That can never change. Now, I look at my bank account. It says, zero. That says, my God supplies my needs. What are you going to focus on? What that says or what your bank account says? Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when your body says, you can't do it, you can't do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, that's what I look at. That's what I consider. That's what I confess. And while I'm doing that, instead of considering the things that my senses are telling me, my faith is working and changing the things which I see, which are just temporary. How do you look at things that are not seen? You look at it with the eye of faith through the Word of God. With the eye of faith through the Word of God. That's how you look at things that are not seen. See, that's why the Word of God is so important. Because if you don't have the Word of God, you can't have faith. That's why most Christians confess what they see and they confess what they feel and they act upon it because they don't know what the Word of God says. Right. See, faith and God's Word are synonymous. Because faith comes from God's word. When you get the word of God, you get faith. They're synonymous. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's just like the wet goes with the water. How many of you know you can't go to the restaurant and say, can I have a glass of water, but hold the wet. I don't want the wet, I just want the water. When you get the water, you get the wet. When you get the word, you get faith. When you get the word, you get faith. If you want faith, you're going to get the word. So when the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight, you could say it like this. We walk by the word and not by the senses. I'm walking by the word and not by my senses. You see, faith is walking by the word of God. Believing the word of God, not our senses. Faith is confessing the word of God. Doesn't matter what our senses tell me. You could read Hebrews 11:1 like this. Now the word of God is the substance of things hoped for. The word of God is the evidence of things not seen. See, that's why knowledge of God's word is so important. Because it is my proof. It is my evidence. Why do I believe that I'm healed? Because the word of God says it. Not because I feel it. Because God says so in his word. And God cannot lie. And if God says that by his stripes I was healed, by his wounds we were healed, then I will heal.
Amen.
And if I will heal, then I is healed. And if I is healed, then I am healed. Someone said, Pastor Steve, I don't feel healed. I feel sick. But faith is the evidence of things that you don't see. Faith is the evidence, not what you feel. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You see, then the thing, though it's not seen, it must exist. Because how can you have proof of something that doesn't exist? I'm coming to a close. Are you getting something out of this today?
Yeah.
Where are we? I'm coming in for a landing now. Buckle your safety belts. I'm going to wrap this up. How can you have proof of something that doesn't exist? Can you have proof of something that doesn't exist? Therefore, there must be things that exist that are outside the sense realm. And my faith becomes the evidence of them until they are manifested in the physical world. Therefore, there must be another world. A world that is outside of, beyond the physical world. A world that you can only contact by faith. And you know what there is? It's called the realm of God. It's called the spiritual realm. It's more real than this physical world. The only way to connect to that realm, God's realm, is through faith. You see, God is a spirit, and faith is the sensory mechanism of your recreated human spirit that enables you to contact God in the spiritual realm. In order to walk by faith, you have to disengage yourself from your senses. You have to realize things exist in two realms. Everything that is seen, and how many of you know everything that you see in this physical world first existed in the spiritual world? How many of you know that this physical world came out of the spiritual realm? Obvious. Because God is a spirit and he created the whole world. So that everything that's in this physical world came from the spiritual world. The spiritual world is more real than the physical world. And God tells us, don't look at the things that you see in the physical realm, but look at the things that are in the unseen spiritual realm that your faith is evidence of. Now hang in there. I'm going to close with 2 Kings 6 verse 8. 2 Kings 6 verse 8. It says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. He consulted his servants. He said, my camp is in such and such a place. And the man of God said to the king of Israel, he said, beware. Do not go down past this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God told him. And he warned him. And he was watchful not just once or twice, but this happened a number of times. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled, and he called his servants and he said, will you now show me who is for the king of Israel? We've got a spy in our midst. We've got a rat. Someone's giving our plans away. And one of the servants said, no, none my lord, but Elisha, the prophet in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army. He said, great army.
Great army.
He sent a great army for one man. And they came by night and surrounded the city. They just wanted to get Elisha. So when the servant of the man of God arose early in the morning and he went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses, chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what are you going to do? And he said, do not fear. Elisha said, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed. He said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now, I thought that was the problem, what he saw with his eyes. But obviously, Elisha's not talking about these eyes. He's talking about his spiritual eyes. He said, open his eyes and he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What was that? That was the army of God, the angels of God surrounding Elisha. What did Elisha mean when he said, Lord, open his eyes? He's talking about his spiritual eyes. See, Elisha wasn't looking at the things with these eyes. He wasn't looking at the things perceived by his senses. He wasn't looking with these eyes. See, don't you realize that when the young man's eyes were opened, was not when the horses and the chariots and the angels suddenly appeared. They were there all the time, even though we couldn't see them. Do you know, even though you cannot see them, they are angels around you? Do you know that there are angels around you that fight for you, that protect you, that defend you? The Bible says in Hebrews 1 and verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Do you know that angels have been sent to serve you? I said, do you know that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve you? Angels are here to help you, but you've got to operate in faith. You've got to call them into battle for you. Lord, open our eyes that we may see into the spiritual world through faith. You see, family, everything that God says in His Word is out there in the spiritual realm. The Word of God, this book, this Bible, is an inventory of the things that exist in the spiritual realm. And my faith brings them into the physical realm. My faith gives substance to them. Everything you will ever need, everything you will ever desire, it already exists in the spiritual realm. How do I know that? Because the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite. Excuse me, that are, how do you say that? Where's that scripture? 2 Peter 1 verse 3. His divine power, there you go, has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. His divine power has already bestowed upon us everything that is suited to life and godliness. Everything you need, God's already provided it to you. It already exists. Move on from me. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings. Are you reading this?
Yes.
No, He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice it says God's already done it. God has blessed us. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Say, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing.
I am blessed.
Notice it says He has blessed us. It's already done. Every spiritual blessing. Maybe you say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm in the physical world, and I need physical things. How's this going to help me? How's spiritual blessings going to help me? I need some physical blessings. I need new tires on my car. I mean, I need to pay my rent. Listen, understand that everything in this physical world came from the spiritual world, because God is a spirit, and He created everything. So this physical world wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for the spiritual world. Therefore, the spiritual world must be more real than the physical world that was created by the Spirit, because it doesn't take creation to sustain the Creator, but it takes the Creator to hold creation together. But God's Word says in Colossians 1:16, it was in Him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen, things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created and exist. All things were created and exist through Him, by His service, by His intervention, in and for Him. He Himself existed before all things, and in Him all things consist and are held together. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for God, God is holding this universe together. This universe is dependent on Him. He is not dependent on us. The spiritual world is more real than this physical world, and everything that you will need, everything that you will ever desire, it already exists in the spiritual realm. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Our faith is what brings it from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. The Word of God is an inventory of the things that exist in that spiritual realm, and my faith looks at that. But you will never see those things in reality unless you learn how to see it first by faith. Because it is your faith that gives substance to the things that you hope for. Are you with me this morning? It is your believing and confessing and acting upon the Word of God that brings those things into manifestation in this physical world. We're learning about faith that moves the hand of God. What did we learn today? We learned, number one, that faith is now. If it's not now, it's not faith. We learned, number two, my faith gives substance to the things that are hopeful. And we learn, number three, our faith is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, when it comes to walking by faith, you've got to realize that if I trust the Word of God, even when I can't see it, even no matter how I feel, if God's Word says by His wounds you were healed, then I believe that I'm healed. I believe I will heal. I believe I am healed. I believe I is healed.
Amen.
No matter how I feel about it, God's Word says I will heal. So I say, Lord, thank you that I'm healed by the stripes of
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healthy. If God's word says, my God shall supply all your needs, it doesn't matter how it looks in my bank account, it doesn't matter what the economy says, I believe my God supplies all of my needs because His word says so. My faith is what causes those unseen promises to become a reality in my life. Did you get something out of this today? I want you to say this with me. I have a measure. Say this with me. I have a measure of the mountain moving faith. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Say, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to grow in my faith by hearing God's word and by using my faith. Say, I'm going to please God with my faith. Say, my faith is bringing me victories. Say, I'm going to use my faith to trust God for the impossible. Say, faith is now. If it's not now, it's not faith. Say, my faith is giving substance to the things I hope for. My faith is the evidence. It's the proof of the things that are not perceived by my senses. Say, if I'm going to walk by faith, I have to leave the realm of the senses. I must ignore anything that disagrees with the Word of God. I must call things that be not as though they are. Say, to walk by faith, I must walk by the Word of God. Because faith is synonymous with God's Word. Say this, say, I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Everything I need or desire, it already exists in the spiritual realm. And the Word of God tells me what's available to me. I must see those things with the eye of faith. I must call things that be not as though they are. Say, through faith, I bring those blessings from the spiritual world into the physical world. Say, my faith is giving substance to the things I hope for. My faith is making the things that are hopeful a reality. Say, my faith is moving God to act on my behalf in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God faith. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Give Him praise today. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads if you would for a moment. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that our faith is being increased. Our faith is growing. Our faith is being strengthened, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for faith victories this week. I thank you, Lord, that our faith will cause victories to take place in our life, Lord, in the name of Jesus. While you have your heads bowed in prayer, and while no one is looking around, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I never close a service without giving people the opportunity to make sure that all is well and all is right between them and God. And so, if you are not sure where you stand with the Lord this morning, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you are sure that you would go to heaven. You're positive about that. You don't have any doubt. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. But I'm not absolutely certain that I would go to heaven. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm asking you if you die tonight, are you sure where you'd spend eternity? Because let me tell you the good news. The good news is you can know. You can be sure that heaven is where you will spend eternity. You can know that you know. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right. All is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. You can walk out of here this morning knowing that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you want to be included in this prayer, I'm going to ask you quickly. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, I want you to lift your hand up high. Just lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Just lift it up high. Here's my hand. Pray for me too. Include me, Pastor Steve. Lift it up right now. I want everyone who lifted your hand. I want to lead you in prayer like I said. Please, will you say this? Say this. Say, dear God. Everybody, say it together. Say, dear God. I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to shed His blood for me. Say this, say, Lord, you said that if I believe, God raised Jesus from the dead. And if I confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I do this today. Lord, I believe that you've been raised from the dead. And I ask you, come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Save me, Lord. Say this, say, from today, I will live for you. I will follow you. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am now born again. I'm a child of God. Say this, say, heaven is my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you lifted your hand up, yes. If you lifted your hand up, I want to ask you, as we're going to be closing in a couple of minutes, but as we close the service in a few minutes, if you lifted your hand, please stay seated where you are. We have our counselors, volunteers in our church going to come over to you. We have a gift for you. Service is not finished. Not done yet. But just stay seated where you are. We'll get to you. We have a gift we want to give you before you go home. Amen? Now, praise the Lord. Before we close, I'm going to do offering today. It's offering. Time for offering. Time for giving. Anyone believe in giving here today? Now listen, I'm going to ask you a little softer. I'm going to ask for your attention today. I want to share something with you today. I'm going to ask you to open your Bible, please, and read with me from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There's something I need to share with you, and I want to read the scripture before I do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Joe still here today? Joe Siegel still here? Joe, did you leave? Alright. Did you find 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Can we read it together? Is that okay?
Yes.
Look, it's Paul said, writing to the church. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. Though they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. He said, I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. Read on, it says, they did even more than we hoped for. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish the ministry of giving. Do you know that it's biblical to be encouraged in the area of giving? Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Amen.
Today. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love for us, we want you, I want you to excel in the act of giving. Say this, say, God wants me. Everybody say, God wants me to excel in the area of giving. God wants us to excel as givers. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of other churches. Do you know that our giving is a test of our love for God? Since you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty he could make you rich. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing so. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have and not according to what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourself. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later they will have plenty and you can share with you when you need it. In this way things will be equal. So notice, God says, I don't want some to be burdened and others to be easy. I want there to be equality. I want everyone to do their share. Let everyone give in accordance with what they have. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Listen, family, this is offering time, and I just want to tell you, I don't usually, very seldom do I tell you what's going on. Most of the time when we face challenges in this church, I just believe God and don't even tell you about it. But I have to tell you, because sometimes people say to me, Pastor Steve, I wish you told me, I wish I had known. And I want to tell you that the last 2 weeks, and if you're a visitor today, please don't feel pressured in any way to give. I'm not sharing this with you to try and pressure anybody. But I have to share with you, the last 2 weeks, the income in our church was half what it usually is. And so we haven't been able to pay the rent in the hotel. And we've got to pay the rent in the hotel if we want to keep having church. So I want to thank everyone who gives. But the last 2 weeks, our giving dropped 50%. 50%. So I'm asking if you can. I'm asking if you can. If you can give something extra. If you're able to do that, we need your help to be able to pay the rent. We have to pay $13,000 this week. Just turn me off. It's so distracting. Turn me off there.
We have to pay $13,000 this week. That's the rent for March. 5 weeks. Be here 5 weeks. 5 Sundays in March. It's $13,000 we've got to pay this week. I'm just sharing with you, if you're able to help us, if you're able to do something extra, praise God. Do what the Lord tells you to do. I can tell you right now, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, and God has promised that when we give, He's promised He will cause people to give back to us. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I can tell you right now, when you take care of the house of God, God will take care of your house. So I want you to hold your offering in your hand today as we give to the Lord. I want to pray over that offering today. The Bible says when we bring the tithe and the offering into the house of God, that God opens the windows of heaven above us and He pours blessings upon us. So I want you to hold that in your hand right now. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you for your blessings in my life. Say, Lord, I thank you for my salvation. Say, Lord, as I give today, I give cheerfully, I give willingly, because I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to give unto your work, unto your kingdom. Say, Lord, I thank you that that as I bring my tithes and offerings into your house, I thank you that the windows of heaven are open above me and you are pouring blessings on my life in the name of Jesus. So everywhere I go, blessings are chasing after me. Blessings are overtaking me in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for blessing every giver, every tither today. I thank you for bringing increase. I thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word to make it good. And I thank you, Lord, for performing your word. And I thank you for harvests of blessing. And I thank you for supernatural breakthroughs. I thank you for bringing increase. I thank you for bringing promotion. I thank you for blessing businesses. I thank you for opening new doors. I thank you, Father, for supplying every need in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say a big amen. Come on, forgive God. Say a big amen. Praise God.
It's a life-changing four-week Bible study. It'll be at my house. And if you haven't signed up, I encourage you to sign up. Come join us Tuesday night. The next 4 weeks, do the Christian Growth Seminar. It's going to be truly life-changing. God bless you. Thank you, Monique and the band, as you sing, Shine on Us, Lord. We thank you that your favor shines on us. Your blessing shines on us this week. Your goodness shines on us this week. We thank you, Lord, for your angels that protect us this week, everywhere that we go, in Jesus' name.
I was stumbling in darkness. I couldn't see my head in front of me. I was sending out a mess of words. All was lost, you came running. Through the clouds of piercing light.
for coming and staying and worshiping, and you have an amazing week. God